Okay, Caleb, I think we're going to bring you before the elders and have a meeting with you. Because this is getting out of hand, bro. Good gracious me. Okay, I'm going to sit this morning because we're going to do it a bit differently. Let me change over to the other mic here, but... Is that on? There we go. Okay, I'm going to need someone to do the roaming of this mic a little later. Okay, Caleb, yeah, when we're ready, just turn it on and then other guys can talk into this when we're ready. I just want to talk from a few things just to set the tone. I think it's brilliant. What Caleb is coming up with there is awesome, to serve our wives and serve our homes. And if you don't have a wife and a home, do the dishes anyway. You're probably living in your own, you do them anyway. But it's about stepping into action, which I think is pretty awesome. But why am I sitting? Because it's a conversation we're going to have. We're going to talk together. It's like a big home group meeting this morning. And you're all sitting in our lounge and we're all just chatting together about, but I hope you've now engaged your minds a little bit about the 21 days of prayer and fasting. What do you feel God just said to you? What are the things that he kind of just, you know, just reminded you of in your own heart as you kind of went through those devotionals? And again, I just thank everybody who wrote them. There's such depth in our hearts as people speak and put things on paper, and you realize what people are carrying in their hearts and that. And I was reminded a little while ago of a prayer that we prayed over our ladies here one morning. And the words we said over that prayer were, it's okay to start feeling again. I don't know if you remember that Sunday. And there was lots of ladies here. We prayed for them in the front. But if you were here last week, you'll see how many people came forward looking for employment. There must have been 15, 20 people. You know, and the times we're living are challenging. You know, and so what happens with the context of you stop feeling. And you just survive, and you just kind of numb yourself because you've just got to trudge through every day and just keep going. But actually, in the things of God is that we can feel, and that's not just to the ladies at this time, but that just feel again. And that is totally okay to kind of feel the things. Sue's led me some fantastic books on grieving and going through trauma and stuff. On these little books, and the guy says, allow that emotion to come. Don't push it down. Allow it to come forth. It's hard. But allow it to come. And that's how we live often. We just suppress and just carry on. We're a traumatized people, South Africans. Okay? What we face and what we hear in the news every day, it's honestly traumatic. We are just numb to the realities of 82 murders on average every day. Every day. Just let that sink in. It's not normal. The realities of what we're facing, and we just numb ourselves and keep going. And actually to feel is a good thing, because then God rushes in. And I know there's a lot pressing in our worlds, and each person I can, you know, as I speak to different people in this community at different times, man, the stories and the pressures people are facing and what we are coming up against, it's real, okay? And this is not the gospel of sadness. I'm like, yeah, woe is me, okay? And like, how is our lives? It's a reality we're living in right now. And we have to learn how we position ourselves from, you know, finances, and everyone's trying to make a plan with finances, and it's pressure. It creates, it requires more of you. You're like, how am I going to do this? You know, and you're stepping out to try and do things, and it's hard. There could be realities with your health and the never-ending journey of you trying to sort your body out. They're just not responding to stuff. It could be tensions in relationships with your children, all sorts of stuff. Everything, it's always pressing in on us, but it's how we respond to that. And we have to often just take a step back from the coal face of this stuff around us. And let's just take a step back in our minds and just realize that the world is literally in war right now. The times we live, the world is in war. It's at the brink of exploding and going broader than what it is. So these times are not normal. And I read an extract from this book of Dietrich Bonhoeffer that I've been reading. And this is a quote from this book on a mention about just the economy, what was happening in that time. And it says, towards the end of 1923, a life insurance policy of Karl Bonhoeffer's matured. Now, this Karl Bonhoeffer was Dietrich Bonhoeffer's father. And his father was a very influential man in Germany. He was a psychologist, and he really was up in the echelons of society. They had done superbly well. He was a recognized man of all levels of society. And a policy of Karl Bonhoeffer's had matured, paying him 100,000 marks. Okay, this is 1923. He had made payments for decades to this policy. And now, because of inflation, the reward was only enough to purchase a bottle of wine and some strawberries. Because inflation was so bad. And when the money arrived, it was worth even less and covered only the strawberries. Couldn't even get a bottle of wine. Come on. It was a boon that Karl Bonhoeffer saw many patients from around Europe because they paid him in their country's currency. Nonetheless, by the end of 1923, things had become impossible. In October, Dietrich wrote that every meal cost about 1 billion marks. This is 1923. He wanted to pay two or three weeks of meals in advance to this kind of retreat that he ran with all these students he was teaching, but needed the family to send him funds. I don't have much money on hand, he said, and he explained, I had to spend 6 billion marks on bread. Okay, I'm just giving you some context. The world will keep doing this to us. That's 1923. That's 101 years ago. This is even before Second World War. This was the build-up to the greatest atrocity we've seen in our time with Adolf Hitler, and that now in this time he was pushing forward to make himself known within Germany and how it was coming through politically. And if you read the introduction to our 21 days of prayer and fasting, what did I do? I said, if we go back to 1924 and look at the times we were living, the same things were playing out. It's just different times, different challenges, but it doesn't mean God has changed, because he's the same God who remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. So taking that step back, you see, realize this cycle of the world just will keep going. It doesn't change. It doesn't end. It's often just depends the severity of when you're born and which dip you're in and what time you're alive. And the times we're living now, I've got stuff to share in the months, couple of months coming up that'll give you context. You know, like I said, the state of our nation, the murder rate, the rapes, the corruption, the lawlessness that just goes on and on and on and etc. Okay, that's why we need to put our hope in beyond this world. Okay, your hope cannot be in this world. And not putting our heads in the sand. Okay, and just go, oh, it'll all go away. Ostrich. No one's here. I can't see you. You're never going to get by putting your head in the sand. It's the reality is that we have to see things from a heavenly and a kingdom perspective. You are seated with him. Ephesians 2, you are seated with him in heavenly places. So you look down from that perspective and then you see the world panning out and you go, the Lord's not surprised by what's happened in our world in the last 5 years. Because it's happened before, over and over. These cycles take place. Now you must also remember, the demonic has also been around for centuries. They know exactly. They've seen the cycle. The enemy knows. And a bit of a heads up. I'm going to speak into this into the month of June. Most people worship pagan gods before Jesus came. The Father, God, chose a people, Israel, out of that chaos of pagan worship. And he chose a people through Abraham. And he said, this people will be set apart. And I will show myself through this people. The rest worship pagan gods. So you God of Molech, God of Baal, God of the Queen of Heaven, they call it, Ishtar. And then Jesus came. And all those gods were silenced. All those gods were put in their place because he made a mockery of the heavenlies. It says in the Bible that he set them in order. And then from that time, you rolled out through the centuries, society was predominantly driven by Christian values and principles. Okay, and we've seen that. Yes, there were pockets, obviously, of the enemy trying to do his stuff, but generally, governments all wrote their constitutions in honor of God. Except, you know, the most of the Western world and that Russia, China had a different philosophy and approach to ideologies and that. But generally around the world, look what's happened in the last 70 years on this earth. How this freedom of just expression and worshipping other things and everything we hold on to truth now is being challenged. Okay, so now just let that sink in. Think of the times you live in. This is not a time when the world is flourishing and everything's happening. It's a challenging time. Okay, and again, it's come to perspective. I want to read 1 Peter 5 from verse 8. And he's speaking, yeah, Peter's, you know, his books are just a real encouragement. He's writing to leaders or, you know, about, you know, and he says, I'll read from verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of sufferings of Christ. I mean, I always say that as a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I've paid the price for serving Jesus. as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Come on. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. That's what we carry as leaders here. Not under compulsion. Don't have to do this, but willingly as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. This is what it is just to give and serve people. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And this is the part I just want to focus on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, He may exalt you. Many people are exalting themselves. Okay? But humble yourselves before God and His mighty hand, and in due time, He will exalt you. And so what is being exalted? It's not being recognized and like, oh, now I've got a Facebook channel or a YouTube channel that's got a million subscribers. I've been recognized. No, you can do that without God. And many have done that without God. But when He exalts you, it's everything you do, like Wendy was saying, it shines for Him. His bright shines bright. Your gift, everything operates so it serves others and it shines bright for His glory and exaltation, not your gain. Because it's for Him. Everything we do is for Him. Okay? That time you may be exalted, casting all your anxieties on Him. Casting all your worries on Him. Cast them. Like casting. Throw it on Him. Throw it on Him because we can't carry it. All the challenge. Cast it on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. He's not a God distant, sitting on the throne, going, well, good luck. There's nothing more I can do for you guys. He's done it all. He cares for us. If you've ever experienced care from somebody, it just warms your heart. It just makes you feel loved. He cares for you. And here's the part. Be sober-minded, meaning be level-headed. Don't be all over the place. Just be a level-headed. Be sober-minded. Okay? Firm in your faith. Standing strong. This is what we keep saying here for years now. Hold the line. Don't waver. Don't compromise on the word. Okay? Knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood, sisterhood, whatever it's meaning the church, throughout the world. This is written 2,000 years ago. Those words don't change to us. There are brothers and sisters around the world who are going through the same trials and experiencing right now. Okay? I can say a lot and to that. But just think of people in different contexts. You know, the believers in North Korea. We were singing a song on Thursday night of that, you know, he was holding broken chains above their heads. And I remember standing there singing that over in South Korea, singing that looking into North Korea and thinking, there are believers in that nation. Holding on to the truth of Almighty God, we have no clue of the pain and the suffering they're going through. I can promise you, you think it's bad for you, there's somebody that's always going through something worse. Sure, because the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. We're all in this. And after you have suffered a little while, meaning it's not going to last forever. Your children don't stay small forever. Okay, you're suffering now, I know it. Okay, but eventually the tide will turn because you've suffered a little while. The grace of God, sorry, I've missed out a whole line there. Be sober-minded, be watchful, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Another meaning of the word devour is to swallow. Basically, he wants to consume you. Be sober-minded, level-headed, be watchful. So what do we say in the spirit? Be watchful, be aware, be alert. Coming here for First Fruits on Saturday is about being watchful over your own heart and your own life, this community, this city, this nation. We are being watchful about things happening because we don't want to fall into the trap of this enemy, your adversary that's prowling around. He's roaming, he's looking like a dog, like a lion sniffing. Come, where's my next prey? Sniffing it out. Do you know lions can sniff blood? It's from a big distance. It's like it's a long distance. They can sense a weakness from a long way off. He prowls around waiting. And what does he prowl on? The young, the weak of the tribe, those that are feeble. He's prowling on them. And it's not, yes, and I'll explain to you that now. Okay? roar now like someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, himself, he will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. That word establish is to lay the foundation for, okay? To make stable, that you will stand in this time of trial that we're living through and we're facing now. The enemy is roaming around like a roaring lion. Here's the thing is, the enemy cannot attack or manipulate your spirit. He cannot. Okay, that is covered by the blood. That is Christ in you. He cannot attack that. So what do we keep saying here? You don't live from your soul and your flesh. You live from the place of your spirit. What he will attack is your soul. The gateway to your mind, your will, and your emotions. He will go on that. Because the moment he can hinder you there. So when he's saying in the verse, cast your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. Meaning, don't try and fight this all in your own strength. We need Jesus. You need Jesus every day of your life. Lay down your cross in humble submission to Almighty God and say, Lord, in and only through you can I do this. Okay? He can only attack your soul. So what happens is you pour your worries and anxieties on Jesus because he cares for you. Looking to devour you is to allow your worries and anxious things to lead you into depression and disappointment and discouragement. That's how he gets you. And we're talking to people that aren't even saved, and they're going, I just can't anymore. I just can't. I don't have it in me. There's something the enemy is playing out, a rush over these last years, and there's an intensity in these last few years. I'm saying 70 years. There's an intensity in these last couple of years to cause us to be full of hopelessness, discouragement. That's where he prowls, and that's where he wants to swallow you up. That's why we worship. That's why we gather. That's why we strengthen each other. That's why we pray. That's why we come together, because we've got to look like a peculiar people in these times. Set apart. Not like the world, the ecclesia, set apart people. But we're all going to rugby and Saturday. No, I'm going to pray. I'm going to go and pray before God, because I need to be firm and strong. And it's not because, if I don't do this, it's by grace that we walk, but we choose him every time as we walk through. Because in isolation, he'll corner you. And then in a corner, you're isolated. You're trying to get out like a boxer in a corner. He's like fending himself. He can't get out of this corner. And the guy just funnels him in the corner. It's the worst place to be. The enemy puts you there. You're on your own. You're isolated. That's where he attacks, devours you, ready to eat you up. You've got to come out of that corner and stand together in a group. Numbers. Now, having said all that, and the context of what we're living and facing, okay? What we're telling you as a leadership is now you need to serve others. When you're in your heart, you're going, I've got nothing more to give. What do you mean I've got nothing more to give? I can't. I've got nothing more to give. And are you asking me to serve people? It's exactly it. Because that's the kingdom, that's this upside down thing. Because you don't serve people from your soul. You serve from the place of a kingdom ambassador, from the place of serving with your spirit to spirit in serving one another. Okay, and you tell us that we need to be faithful in giving. Like my daddy always uses faithful line, funny line. He says, I can't even pay attention at this phase. And you wanted me to pay more money. He said, I can't even pay attention. Okay? It's not about that. It's about faithfulness. It's about overcoming doubt and living in faith rather. Okay? There's the power in this, in overcoming things. And that old line this morning singing, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Just bless him. Just bless him. Just bless him. You see, now, we won't stop pursuing what God wants to do for, in and through us as a people. And serving him requires us to give up something. But if you're going to do it in your own strength, you're going to have nothing to give. Okay, now I'm going to wait. I want to hear from you guys. We've got 15, 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes to hear from different voices in our community. Caleb's going to come running with a microphone. You can put your hand up. And I want to hear what you said, because the retort in your mind over that 21 days, I know the serving thing, but I've got nothing to give. I've got nothing to give. You don't know what's going on. I know what's going on in lots of your lives. And we've been in that same place too. But we give because it's in service of one another, and in that you are blessed and you are strengthened. It's like the reversal. It's not. It doesn't make sense. That's how God operates. Over to you, Peter.
Well, like you were saying, mentioning Jeff, I just want to say again, one thing that's really been on my mind as I was thinking about what to say, is Jeff used to say, don't hold everything close to your chest. And that's what I was doing, or what we were doing. Holding everything close. What about tomorrow? Mm. What about, that's in a financial aspect. What about, keep it. This is what we got, where are we going to get? And what the Lord showed me through this fast, just with fasting food or something, you have to, it's painful. You have to give. And, will I do it? Will I make it? But what the Lord showed me, the more I gave, the more strength He gave me to overcome it, and the joy and the peace that He gave in turn was worth so much more than what I gave.
Amen.
And that's what the fast done to me is: you give and you get so much more in return. And I don't want to sit back on the pile of Sharon, but she also came out in the store, said, no, it's more blessed to give than receive. Yeah. So she gave some money that she was saving for, for tomorrow, when she hasn't got a job anymore in September. And she gave some money out. And for a tax man came, and what the people said, you'll never, ever, ever get something back. That money just about all came back from the tax man.
Praise God.
So,
amen.
Thank you, Lord.
He's faithful. Thank you, Peter. That's brilliant. Hey?
Okay, next one. But well, it's maybe you. Oh, there.
And just when you hear this sound, when you hear. Can you hear it? Very soft. Okay, I'm going to put a timer on so we all get a chance here. Okay?
All right.
No pressure, Sue.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Am I on here?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Okay. My name is Sue, and I want to pick up on a comment that Sheldon made when he was sort of half joking about fasting. Oh, there we go. About intermittent fasting. How many times have I not tried intermittent fasting? And can't get there. Oh, one day, 2 days, no, I can't. This time I thought, Lord, I will offer that to you. And boy, what a difference. Wow. When the focus was on the Lord with the intermittent fasting, and not because it's good for my health or could help with weight loss. What a difference. And I felt in such a free place, and I've been able to continue, not a legalistic way. If friends invited me out for breakfast, that's fine. That day I have breakfast. But I feel I've moved into a freer place with God as the focus. And, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. So I hope the good health and the weight loss will follow after that.
Amen.
But the other thing I want to say is something, a picture that has always been very meaningful to me is we're like balloons. Each of us is a balloon. God wants us to be blown up to fill our full potential. But we've got bits of sellotape stuck on that balloon, things we've been through in our lives, heartaches, things that we've struggled with, and the balloon is misshapen. But every time we respond to a work of the Lord, a word in season, it's another piece of sellotape being taken off. Mm. And I feel for myself that this going forward, I'm in this freer place with this fasting aspect. To me, it's a major thing. And I feel another bit of sellotape has been pulled off. Mm. And that I'm another step further to my balloon being shaped and filling my full potential. Sorry, I just see I'm getting the sign.
No, he was explaining to me about the number, but that's brilliant. Thank you, Sue. Outstanding. Very, very good. Yeah, that's good.
On to the next one.
Hi, everyone. So the last day of the fast, which was on the 25th, I shared this with Kathleen. I'm not prone to visions and dreams like most people are. But the last week of the fast, I believe it was the Tuesday, the devotion that we received on the Tuesday. I hadn't really completed reading that devotion when I had a vision, and like I said, I'm not prone to visions, so I didn't really understand what I was seeing, but I clearly saw seedlings. It was placed in really rich soil, and I know in reality seedlings are, I'm not a gardener at all. I tried it once, didn't work, but I understand that when seedlings push through the soil, it's really tiny. It's like a couple of millimeters at first glance when they start. But these seedlings were really big. It didn't make sense in reality for seedlings to look that big. And it was in a really large place. I don't know where it was, but Kathleen and Pastor Sheldon were standing and overseeing this area, and I shared it with Kathleen, and so I don't want to put my own words to it, but that is what I saw. But a couple of things happened for me the day after seeing that vision. I hadn't been praying very long about new employment. In fact, I don't have any real reason to want to move from where I'm at right now. I'm comfortable in my job. I've got a great team and a very good manager. But I was, like most people, I was kind of wanting to really give more and tithe more fully into the church. And the very next day, I received a message on LinkedIn. And a very persistent recruiter was trying to get a hold of me for a couple of days. And I normally don't really respond. I'm quite busy in my role. So I responded for some reason. And I said, yeah, sure, this is my number. Call. And it escalated from there, where I went into a conversation. And the person said, I don't want to see any more profiles. When I saw your profile, I know that you're right for the job. I went for the second interview with someone in India and online, and an interview which should have lasted about an hour was 10 minutes, and he said, it's fine. I think we've pretty much made up our mind. So I was a little bit in awe of everything going on around me, but there were more things that happened then. I know my time is limited, but I just wanted to share that I'd been praying for God to really, I was praying for an internal promotion, really, to allow me to have more money to tithe fully into the church. But this came along the day after that vision. Wow. So, yeah, that's just what I wanted
Praise
to share.
God. Thank you, man. That's brilliant. See, what's interesting there, I'm not prone to visions, but you position yourself before God in fasting and doing that, and he spoke to you in a way that you've never experienced, and there's a clarity in what he said, the seedlings, all that can mean, and then he provided over and above. You weren't even looking for another job. Praise God. Praise God. It's awesome to hear testimony like that, eh? Yeah.
Hello, everybody. I'm Josh. Yeah, so this was the first time in 7 years that I actually attempted fasting and praying. Because I worked in the Navy, it made things very complicated for me to fast, because it required a lot. And from where I come from, in Durban. My teachings of fasting and praying required me to not eat or drink anything, and or just drink water. So I said, okay, it's going to be easy for me because I did lose my job, and I thought fasting was going to be easy. When your mind is idle, you will have that 1 minute or hour and your mind is idle, and that's when you're your most vulnerable. And that's where the devil just plays tricks on you. And it made fasting absolutely difficult. I mean, your stomach would rumble for minutes and minutes, and I would struggle. And I mean, it was also Jade's first time fasting ever, and she also found it difficult. But anyway, moving forward, I mean, when it came to the last week, I unlocked a new gift, and it was dreams. I've never ever remembered a single dream before fasting. Like literally every single dream would just be a blank. I would just wake up in the morning and be like, okay, it's a morning. I don't remember anything that happened last night. But lately I've been having dreams upon dreams. I even shared some dreams with Pastor Sheldon, and it's been amazing. I mean, I had a dream of my dad's brother being saved while he was praying. So he was praying and he gave his heart to the Lord in his own prayer. And I could feel his prayer resonate in my own body in the dream. And that was just one of many. And then there was another one about the road, where it was a straight road. We were at a baptism service at the beach, and there was a road, and there was two oceans. The road was in between two oceans. And then a bunch of people went before the church, and they were all washed away. And then our church began to drive in a convoy, and the storm would try, but God would keep that convoy in line, and we reached the end of the destination. That was another dream I had, which was a confirmation dream. So I just want to give God all glory for it. I think everything worked for a reason, and me losing the job, I saw it as an opportunity for more doors to open, and for good doors, and also give me new gifts and stuff. So,
amen.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you, Joshua. It's interesting. He's the third person that I know of that has dreamt of the bay being at the sea, and there's baptisms, and there's water, and there's something going down. Like God's saying, you know, the waves mean about a move of the Spirit. Being at the ocean, I mean, Queen, was you with all the fish, the souls. See, God's talking to us. You see, it's not just Marv and a few voices up front here. And God wants to talk to us as a body. This is beautiful, yeah.
Following on from that, so I was praying.
You're also dreaming at the beach, bro. Come on.
There we
bro.
Go. Not at the beach, a bit higher up. I was up on that mountain just praying. And but I was looking down on the beach, and I was thinking like how, you know, Musenberg is not like the center of, it's not like the CBD or Sea Point or something. It's quite a humble place, you know. Like Jesus said, there's that thing of, you know, what good can come of Nazareth? But it's like one of those places. It's not like a big. But I was looking at that, and then looking at the ocean just flowing in with the waves just slowly coming in, and I was thinking, wow, isn't it amazing that this grand ocean visits little humble Musenberg, you know? And just in the spirit, God just spoke to me and said, like, how there's this mighty move of God coming, that there's a big move of God in the spirit coming, like these waves, that's going to visit this region. Mm. And there's a lot of people, a lot of fish, a lot of people are going to be brought into the kingdom. And we need to prepare. We really need to prepare, because what does it look like to open your heart to someone who looks a bit different, who's come into the church, who's not like you, who looks different, who's from a different neighborhood, whatever. But we need to, as a church, get good at reaching out, opening our hearts, and you know, do you want to sit next to me? Do you want to go for coffee? Do you want to do something, just connect, that's maybe a little bit uncomfortable for me? But we need to get good at this, and we need to get good at just reaching out and just start simply by loving people. How are you? Welcome, you know? Yeah. Because there's a lot of people that are going to be coming in who will need love and care and to be prayed for and discipled. So, yeah. Amen.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a good way to explain Musenberg. It's a humble, here we go, this side, yeah. A humble place. It's not the center of the world, eh? But God's got this place. And I actually didn't share with you last week with the dreams that people are having. Probably about 25 years ago, I had a vision of massive warships coming into this False Bay Harbor. But but they were warships with angels coming to collect souls for salvation. And I can still see it. I can still see it. And now there's God is preparing his people. That on the road, you see that, Josh, many were wiped away. The apostasy is a real thing. Many will fall away. But there were those that just keep the line. And it's not about the results and the what will happen, but it's those that have held sure God will use and many will come. So we can disciple, we can help and lead on. Sorry, delaying there. Thank you for waiting. Yeah.
I give God all the honor and the praise for the bay that has been, I have been loved and nurtured through the years. Amen. And I give God the glory. I also got a breakthrough through the fast. And amen. I haven't fasted in a very long time. But I fasted the fast where you drink, you know, fruit and things like yes. that. But it was very good because some of the things in our diet I need to take out of my diet. Yeah. And it really has done me very good. And I say thank you for the bay, for love and taking care. I remember the equip people to love God. Ne? Remember that one?
And impact nations.
And
that's right.
Impact the nations. And I give God all the glory because I always see this as my home. Yeah. And being nurtured, being loved by many, many who has graduated. And give God thanks for.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Edna. Thank you, man. Awesome. Awesome. I'm loving this. It's not the normal people speaking to the mic. It's so much better. Awesome. I think I might sit back next week as well. Here we go. Come on.
You're quite right. It's not the normal people.
Yes,
and this
you,
is
Patricia.
So not like me. But good morning, everybody. My name is Patricia. You know, when we initially got the directive from church that it's going to be about selfless service. And I thought, oh, this is going to be easy. You just need to be nice to people. And I was in for a surprise because you really just tipped it all around for me. And my journey for the last month with encountering people and, you know, when we spoke about serving people, you'd think, ah, it's just, it's not as bad. You just need to do the next X, Y, and Z. But God really took me much deeper in what he meant when he said to serve one another. And I truly connected with people at work and in my daily relations with people, like what at the core of a human being it meant to serve. Wow, wow. And walking in that person's shoes for a bit and understanding and truly connecting with the humanity of one each other. Wow, and I promise you there was such a beauty in it. I've got a better perspective and understanding of my fellow human being. I'm not as judgmental. When people come to me, I actually try to understand where they're coming from. Beautiful. And it's not a question of giving monetary and in a monetary way or you know, doing what we normally think, and you said, ah, one random act of kindness, I did my thing. It wasn't about that. And that is not what God is about. He really meant for us to be there for each other.
Wonderful.
Doing what he is not presently here to do, but to carry each other, to understand and have empathy, if nothing else, especially in the selfless world that we're living in. And I truly opened up to so much. And I did the water fast. And I promise you, when you get into the kitchen at lunchtime and you feel the smell of the people's lunches, you're like, ouch. And you just quickly go out and go into your corner and you could pray and the new and fresh encouragement and strength would come from that. And I seriously experienced him in that. And I'm so, so grateful because if nothing else, I've got a better connection with my fellow human being.
Wow,
thank
Patricia,
you.
Thank you. Powerful. That's beautiful. Let's just do two more. This is beautiful. How encouraging. There's a lot more than two people in this room.
I can be one of them.
Okay. Yeah, here we go, Cheryl. And then you can finish. And then Caleb will finish off. I think we're going to do this next week. So get ready. Get ready for next week.
Hi, everybody.
This is Cheryl who had the other dream about I was in her dreams. Hey?
Yes.
Yeah, and you.
So a lot happened during the fast. So when we started the fast, I say to my daughter, we're going to be doing a dry fast. So that's like an absolute fast, no eating, no drinking, wow, until from 6 to 6. Not actually 6, like from our last night until 6.
Yes.
So my daughter was like, no, I can't manage, I can hang ting until 2. I was like, that is fine, we'll still pray together. So after work, I'll come home and we created an altar in the house.
Wow.
Where we put the Bible, we put our prayer requests, and it was amazing to find out on those prayer requests, there was nothing for ourselves. It was prayer requests for the Bayset Church, for people, and wow, for friends or anyone who was close to us.
Wow.
And we'll bring my son in and say, let's pray. So that is where my testimony is.
Wow.
So ever since we finished the fast, he'll come and say, let's worship.
Sure.
Let's pray.
Come on.
And when it's time to pray, you'll ask him, what do you want to pray for? One day he'll tell you, I want to pray for the firemen.
Sure.
The following day, I want to pray for the policemen.
Wow.
I want to pray for the doctors. So that was so touching to me that we didn't explain to him what we were praying for,
yeah,
but the Holy Spirit actually,
wow, yeah,
showed him in the direction of we're praying for other people who serve. We were praying for us to serve, but he was praying for other people who serve us,
wow,
even when we are not away. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Bless you, Sharon. Okay, Caleb's going to finish off, and then I'm going to ask Savatori to close in prayer for us. You can start preparing your heart already there, brother. Yeah,
yeah. It was quite interesting during the fast, and I was writing notes for every day. So I have a very big list of notes. But just to take one thing out of it is surrender. That was one thing that God was saying, and I can see that it resonates a lot with other people were sharing. I just heard God saying to me, surrender it all to me.
Mm.
You know, don't try to make it on your own. Don't try to come up with strategies. You know, as a father, as a parent, as a husband, as a worker, you try to make things work financially or with, you know, most of you know about Kuda who's autistic, trying to see what I can do to help him and all that. But God was just saying, surrender all to me. You know, with
wow,
all, I was also praying for the men's ministry as well, as you know, like I ran with that as well. And God was just saying, surrender all to me. Just surrender.
Mm.
Don't try to make things on your own, or don't try to fix it. Just give it to him. And once you give it to him, and then just let him lead you and follow you. But today, as we were worshiping as well, there's one question that was just coming in my mind. Like, what happens to if a pollen... Okay, let me take you back to school. With biology, we know like how... plants reproduce. There'll be flowers, and then there'll be those little pollens that may be carried by bees or wind to different flower, and that's when they came together and do a process called pollination, and that's how we get a fruit at the end of the day. So I was asking myself, like, when the wind is just blowing, like, then what happens if the wrong pollen falls on the wrong flower? So, for example, nectarine pollen falls on an apple flower. What happens? You know, what happens? And then that question was just ringing in my mind as we were worshiping. And then I just checked quickly here on Google, because I couldn't think of any Bible verse related to that. And then it says, if the pollen grain of one flower lands on the stigma of another flower, and they are different kinds, that is, they belong to different species, then cross-pollination won't take place because two flowers belong to different species. So they are different. There's no cross-pollination. And then it says here, also funny enough, it is in bold. It says the pollen will fail to germinate and perish, and no pollination will take place. And then I just heard God saying that we are now a different species. We are now a new creation. Everything has passed away. Now we only receive the pollen grains from him, which is truth, which is love, which is his promises. Anything that is foreign that comes, be it fear, poverty, sicknesses, anything that is not of God will just come. There won't be any pollination. It will just say the pollination will fail to germinate and perish, and no pollination will take place. So just as you, like, I just heard God saying to us as people that don't allow any, it was just confirmed when Sheldon was saying he roams out like a lion looking for someone to devour. That's not the pollination that God has given you. We are a new creation, a different species of flower that only receives from him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. That's very encouraging. Come, Salvatore, come pray for us. Let's stand together. It's so such a joy to hear all our voices. God is speaking to us. And Salvatore, you can just close in prayer. Sorry, not sorry for putting you on the spot.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to give you all the glory, the honor. Lord, we thank you that we could gather in this manner, in community, in brotherhood, in sisterhood, and in love, Father God. Yeah. We thank you for your voice that echoed over us this morning, yes. Lord. I thank you, Lord, that it fell on fertile soil, Lord, that we could take away from here and we can feed on it for the rest of the week, Lord. Yeah. Lord, I want to commit to you every husband, every wife, every child, every grandmother, every grandfather, Lord. And as we proceed in this week, Lord, we will hear good news.
Yeah.
We'll get that phone call that we've been expecting.
Yeah.
We'll get that call for an interview. We'll get that the positive results from the doctor.
Yes,
Father
yes.
God, we get positive results from the schools, from UCTs, Lord. I commit every person that is struggling with illness as well, Father God, that they will get good results this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Alrighty, that was very encouraging. Bless you. Don't go and ride over cyclists now. Be kind and gentle to them and stuff. Be blessed. Amen.